you, Jared and Kristen. What a wonderful text for us today as well. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you would please. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. As we finish our study of fear today, it's been, I think, a tremendous study as we've walked through the Word of God. Remember that fear can be a natural human fear. It can be an awe or respect for authority or for God. It should be that for sure. It can be a terror, appropriately applied to God and to human beings at times. As we finish this series, I'd like for us to look today at sources of fear. In other words, what can cause fear in our hearts? And there are quite a few of them. I'm not going to tell you how many. But it'll comfort you to know I have a plane to catch this afternoon, so you don't have too much to worry about, all right? I'm not going to camp on each one a long time, and certainly there are a lot of other verses that could apply to each one, but I want us to just kind of walk through of this. All of us have fear. Can you think of a time when you were genuinely afraid? Most of us have those. If not, something's probably wrong with you, all right? What we did with that fear might be different. Perhaps you were afraid of an event taking place that surprised you, or perhaps it was something beyond your control, or whatever. I can remember on a number of occasions when I spent time in India, a number of occasions closing my eyes and fully expecting to wake up in heaven. I remember twice praying, God, please take care of my family. One was when we had not been in India long. We were headed up a set of mountains. We were in the edges of the Himalayas in northern India. Uttar Pradesh is what it was called. And it was massive fog. Like, I could not see the front of the Jeep, and Jeeps don't have a whole lot of long lows there. I mean, it was that foggy. And the guy's just ripping around the corners and all this kind of stuff. And I finally got the courage, and I said, could I ask you a question? He said, sure. And he's not slowing down either. And I'm like, how do you know what you're doing? He goes, oh, I have this road memorized. And I'm like, okay, hope you don't forget a curve in your memory. Anybody ever forgot something you memorized before? It's like, wow. The second time we were headed back to Delhi, and we had to go a different route because an earthquake had happened. I felt the earthquake in the night. It was a small one. And so we had to swing around this area, and we're on this little bitty dirt road. And I could reach out one window and touch the side of the mountain. And on the other side, if I were sitting over there, I was sitting on the side that was by the edge. I could see the bottom, and I couldn't see the road. And the rocks were slipping out from underneath the tires as he's on the edge. And I just closed my eyes and said, okay, Lord, I don't think we're going to make this. I can just tell you that I was afraid. I was scared in that time. But what we do with that is really important. So I want us to look today at the sources of fear. Though many things can cause fear, only one can alleviate fear. That's God. And you must trust Him. So we're going to quickly move through this. I'm just going to not spend a great deal of time on each one, but just kind of give these to you. Number one, I think sin can cause fear. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, his brothers, who had wronged him, who had clearly sinned against them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Joseph said, guys, you don't need to be afraid of me. By the way, I think he was telling them, you should be afraid of God. I'm not in the place of God. Don't fear me. But it's clear that his brothers were afraid. They had sinned against Joseph. They had sinned against their father. And they had sinned against God. So if you find yourself fearful, look for hidden or unconfessed sin. God, is there something that you're trying to point out in my life? The second area, I think, the source of fear is surprise. Surprise. No, they don't all begin with S. All right, just so you're wondering that. Surprise. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30 says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, would you be surprised if an angel started talking to you? Hail Mary, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. You know, it's like, yeah. Especially when angels hadn't been talking for 400 years. So here's Mary, this young girl, some believe 14, 15 years old. And this angel's talking to her, and he says, fear not, Mary. She's surprised. Matthew 28 and verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. They're coming to the tomb to anoint his body, but he's not there. He is risen, just as he said, he says unto them. Don't be afraid of that. Surprise. They should not have been surprised by the way God had told them. Again, heading back to that time when I was in India, this was many years ago. Lisa and I think I was in India 22 days. We got one phone call. It wasn't real cheap back in those days. And I remember where I was standing. I remember we could barely hear each other. It was kind of breaking up or whatever. And she said, I've got a surprise for you. And I said, okay. And she said, I'm pregnant. And then she said, did you hear me? And I'm like, yes. Surprise, yes. But I'm going to tell you what I was doing. I was calculating who's going to pay for this. Because we didn't have health insurance at the time. Our first two babies I was in the military for, no problem. This one, I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing. And not only that, but we were in a transition from one church to the other. We knew we weren't staying. And so my mind, it's not that I don't care about Rebecca. It was, how are we going to pay for this? Last time I checked, it costs a lot of money to have a baby. You know? And I'm sure she still remembers that too. Like, are you okay with this? Or what are you thinking? You know? And of course, we're thousands and thousands of us. Surprise. Surprise can cause fear in us, for sure. Have you ever been surprised? Did it cause fear, and how did you respond to that? Number three, just general circumstances can cause fear. And we could have taken this one and applied it to all kinds of things. So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 says, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, whatever may happen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and following says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Do you remember that story? And he eventually asked God to open the eyes of his servants, and there in the mountains were a host of heavenly hosts around. But if you woke up in the morning and your house was surrounded by people who wanted to kill you, that'd be circumstances that'd make you afraid. Sure. See, God is always working. The question is, do we trust him when we can't see that? Because initially, this servant couldn't see what was taking place, and yet God was working in general circumstances. Number four, you can be afraid from a lack of God's presence. Now, time out. This is a perceived lack of God's presence. You ever felt like God is quiet? Nowhere to be found? Multiple Bible characters reached that, didn't they? Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13 of that same chapter says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Do you have situations where it looked like God is gone? Job said, I've looked to the left hand and to the right hand and before me and behind me, and but I know that he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. See, when we perceive that God is not in a circumstance, we need to go back to what God's word tells us. He will not forsake us. Number five, again, this would be perceived a lack of protection. A lack of protection. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Notice what God says next. I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. What an incredible comfort that must have been. Abraham, I'll be your shield. Well, who can penetrate that? There's nothing that can get through God as Abraham's shield. And what a comfort this must have been to him. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. We've talked about this story before, but you talk about a difficult thing to do. Stand still would have been it. Matter of fact, I could think of all kinds of things to do, but not stand still. The Egyptian army collapsing on me. Mountains here, water here. We got to do something, but standing still is not it. But God said, stand still. This is completely in my hand. They were as protected there as they've ever been. They just couldn't see it yet. Psalms 27 and verse 3 says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Joshua 1 and verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Imagine the task that Joshua had before him. Not only was he going to step into the shoes of Moses, an incredible task, and Joshua had watched him lead all these years, but now he has the children of Israel very close at hand to cross in the Jordan River at flood stage. And when they did that, behind them would be water, in front of them would be an incredibly difficult city, Jericho. Walls so thick, they'd have chariot races on the tops of them. How are we going to get in there? I don't know what Joshua was thinking about when he was standing there looking at the city of Jericho, but I know what I'd have been thinking about. How in the world do we do this? And God shows up. Now, this is what I want you to do, Joshua. Crazy battle plan. Makes no sense, but it's what God told him to do. When we perceive that there's a lack of protection there, it causes us to do things that are foolish. And yet, when we realize that God is our protection, we can be right in the middle of things happening around us, and yet God is in control. Someone once said, and it's true, you're invincible in the will of God until God is done with you. You're invincible in the will of God until he's done with you. Are you fearful over a lack of protection or a perceived lack of protection? Number six, man. We spent quite a bit of time on this. We were going through this series, but just quickly, Psalms 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalms 56 and verse 4. Proverbs 29, 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Are we more concerned about what people think than what God thinks? Do you find that hard sometimes? that you're worried about what someone else is thinking instead of just being concerned about what God thinks? I sure do. Number seven, another area that can cause fear in us, the well-being of our children or our grandchildren. Anybody ever been afraid about that? What's going to happen to them? What about this? What about that? Genesis chapter 21 and verse 17 is a wonderful story when you look at all of it. But it says here, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. When you follow the story of Hagar, it's an amazing story. The Bible tells us that Hagar was one who was abused. Sarah, who gave her to Abraham and convinced Abraham to have a relationship with her because Sarah wanted to circumvent what God had promised. We've waited too long. God's probably not going to fulfill his word. He needs some help. And then Sarah says this, my wrong be on thee, Abraham. What an incredible verse that is. By the way, Abraham was responsible for two. But the Bible says that Sarai, at the time that's her name, mistreated Hagar. She abused her to the point that Hagar runs away. And God says to her, I want you to go back and submit to Sarah. And by the way, I'm going to take care of your son. He's going to be a warrior. He's going to be a great nation. He tells Abraham the same thing. Now, years later, she's kicked out of the house because now Isaac's come along. totally unjustified in every way, shape, or form. She thinks that everything's done. I'm just going to throw my child underneath the tree and I'm going to walk away. And God said, I know exactly where your child is. I hear the cry. I know how to protect him. Moms, dads, grandparents, the truth is you and I can't protect our children like we want to anyway. I've heard people say, look at me. Daddy will let nothing happen to you. Dad, you can't make that promise. You may want to make that promise, but you can't ultimately make that promise because you don't have that power. But I know one who does. The God of heaven does. And we can just trust that. Last week, Sarah and Dan had quite the week. They got a stomach bug through. Multiple of them got strep throat and all this kind of stuff, you know. And it was kind of a harrowing week. Matter of fact, in the midst of all of that, Titus, their fourth child, got really infected ankles. I mean, he was really in bad shape. And Sarah took him to the doctor. And in the process of event, someone began to take pictures of Titus. And another person in the store said, hey, I think these people are stalking you. And it was just quite the whole event. And we're getting text messages. Sarah says, I'm crying. I'm scared. You know, da-da-da. The truth is, there was nothing we could do anyway except run to God. We can run to him and say, God, will you protect them? Do you trust our children to God's safekeeping? It's an area that can cause fear in our lives. Number eight, provision. Provision can cause fear. It can, Lord, where's this coming from? How am I going to pay this bill? And what about this economy? And what about that? And what happens if this job goes away and so forth? Genesis chapter 50, verse 21, going back to the story of Joseph, says, now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Of course, this is Joseph, a wonderful picture of our Savior, by the way, saying to men who had mistreated him, I'm going to take care of you, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The truth is, when God supplies, it doesn't even always make sense. I've had people say before, Pastor, that doesn't work on paper. No, it doesn't work on paper. Can I tell you? It doesn't work on paper to give faith promise and to give tithe and put it all on paper and it's like, this doesn't work, but God makes it work. He allows all kinds of things to take place. Our first semester in college, we came to college really with nothing. I mean, we had a little bit of furniture. We lived in a small two-bedroom apartment that we had the three girls at the time. And I didn't have any money to start school. People gave us gifts as we left the ministry that we were in. And so we had enough to make a down payment. And the first 4 months we were at Ambassador, I made a total of $2,000. Now, if you just start figuring out a little bit, you can figure out that $500 a month doesn't go very far when you're paying an apartment bill and you got gas in a car and, you know, you got a college bill to pay and you got three little girls at home and all that kind of stuff. And the truth is, to this day, I can't tell you how it happened. The only thing I know is that my grandmother sent a gift one time, a check of $400. My grandmother never gave me anything, like, she was a sweet lady, but she just didn't give. We never even got Christmas presents from her. You know she wasn't right in the head if you didn't do that. I'm kidding, sorry. She just wasn't a giver. And all of a sudden she's like, and I have some letters of my grandmother. She had about a third grade education. You could hardly read her writing. And she always called me honey, you know. Honey, Granny thought she ought to just send you some money. I don't know why, but God told me to. We got a refund check from our car insurance that semester. Literally, the letter said, we've had less claims in this region than we've ever had before, and so we're giving you a refund. And I'm like, what? Like, it's never happened before or since. And God was, my point is, God can provide. I could tell story after story of God's provision. The truth is, when he says he will supply, he will supply. It doesn't always happen like we want it to, but he's going to supply. Provision can cause fear. Do you trust God to provide what you need? Number nine, seemingly impossible task. Now, we could apply some of the stories that we've already talked about, but sometimes God asks us to do what seems to be impossible, doesn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. All right, I've given you the land, now go take it. Like, okay. Well, we just, why don't you just start in the middle, cut it in half, conquer this side, which is exactly what Joshua did. But what a huge task that God gave them. Deuteronomy 3 and verse 22, you shall not fear them, for the Lord thy God, he shall fight for you. And when you read some of their stories, we're so used to them, we forget. Shout at a wall and it comes crumbling down after 13 times marching around it. Bees chasing people away. I mean, you just think about some of these stories, you're like, okay, but God can do it. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them? Verse 18 says, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember that what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all Egypt. God says, whenever you get to a nation and you're like, we can't beat them, God said, just remember what I did to Egypt. I can handle that. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. We could read verse after verse after verse after verse where God says, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Let me do the impossible task. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All 7 billion of them? Yes. You ragtag, unlearned, ignorant men, go flip the world upside down. That's what happened. Because God can do it. Sometimes I put myself in these Bible stories and have some fun with it. I know I probably have a mind that's just kind of a little weird. But I can imagine, if you will with me, this widow lady picking up a few sticks, getting ready to go make her last meal for her son. Famine in the land, nothing's going on. She meets this, what I would think at the time, a pretty bold, brash prophet. Hey, lady, got any food? Well, I got enough for me and my son, and then we're going to die. Well, make me some first. Like, what decent man would ask a lady for her last piece of bread anyway, right? It's like, this is crazy. But God wanted her to do it. And she kept pouring that oil and pouring that oil and pouring that oil and pouring that oil. And it's like, oh okay, Lord. If this were me, I'm just going to tell you what I'd been thinking. The first few days, I'd have been like, okay, there was oil in it yesterday. Maybe there'll be more in it today. Pour it out like, there was oil in it. The next day, but that's 3 days in a row. It can't keep lasting, can it? About day 10, I'd have snatched that bowl up, just put it in the pot, man. We're good to go, right? It's just going to keep on coming until God provides for it. The impossible task. Whatever God asks us to do, he provides what we need to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. If God wants us to do something, he will provide a way. In the midst of impossible, Noah and the ark. Now, I want you to build this boat. Okay, this is how big it's going to be. This is how many rooms it's supposed to have. This is how many levels it's going to have. It's going to probably take you 120 years, but go for it. And then at the end, I'm going to cause it to rain, something you've never seen before. I understand that. Just build it in the middle of the desert. Water will come to you. Right? I mean, it's like, okay. I've often said, what do you do first? Chop down a tree? I mean, you got to start somewhere, right? But can you imagine just how many years he might have done that? And the engineering, and it's like, okay, God, but he did it. He did it because we can't be afraid of impossible tasks. Are you holding back on something God has asked you to do? What about number 10, natural calamities? Psalms 46 and verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into midst of the sea. That sounds like a pretty powerful earthquake or something going on, isn't it? Matthew 14, 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. We're in the middle of a storm, but it's okay. I'm the master of the seas. I've got all this handled. It's like, Lord, do you realize what's going on around you? Spring's coming, isn't it? Spring storms come through. VBS is coming. If we don't have storms before VBS, we're going to have it the week of VBS. We know that, don't we? I mean, it's just a matter of fact. Well, what do we do when storms come? We rest in who's in control of the storm. That every single wind that blows, he controls. You're like, yeah, but it could damage my house. Yeah, but he's in control. It's simply saying, God, I'm just going to trust whatever you have to do. Natural calamities. Number 11, loneliness. Loneliness. You know, the truth is we can be in a crowd and be lonely. And I know a number of you are lonely for a number of reasons. But again, the Bible says, I'm with you. That go back to that verse in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Jeremiah 1 and verse 8 says, God says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You think about Jeremiah. Before he ever started preaching, God told him, you're going to preach for all these years, and nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to respond to you. Matter of fact, they're pretty much going to hate you. It's good reason that God says, don't be afraid of their faces. You know, you ought to look at you sometime. You didn't like that, did you? Sometimes people get mad at you when you preach. They frown at you. Sometimes people sleep while you preach. Sometimes people look like their eyes furrow like, what? And then you think, what did I just say? When your wife does that, you really wonder what you just said, right? Like, oh boy, I just messed something up, but I don't know, and that's not a good thing, right? Put Moses in the ark or something like that. In our loneliness, do we run to God or are we afraid? Fear, the sources of fear. And then if we haven't covered everything, what about just the unknown? Just not knowing the future. Matthew 1 and verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you, just for a moment, put yourself in Joseph's place? You're talking about a crazy story. Here this godly young lady who he's going to marry comes to him and says, Joseph, I know this is going to be difficult to believe, but I'm actually going to have a baby, but it's God. I've not been unfaithful to you. Right. And the Bible says he thinks on these things like, Lord, what am I going to do? And then God says, don't be afraid, Joseph. She's telling you the truth. But what about everybody else? What about all the people who are going to call names? How am I going to pay for this? What about this? I mean, there would have been tons of questions. God said, don't fear, Joseph. Psalms 91 and verse 5 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You remember what the disciples had just heard, right? I'm fixing to leave. Not going to be here with you anymore. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to die. Their head's spinning. Like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean you're leaving? Like, we were going to set up a kingdom, and we were going to be part of the kingdom. And Lord, can we go with you where you're going? No, you can't go. Not yet. It's in that context that he says, guys, calm down. Don't let your heart be in turmoil. I know you don't know what's going on. I know that it's unknown out there. The truth is, everything that we think we know, we really don't know about the future. Like, you think you're going to get up and go to work tomorrow. I think I'm driving to the airport this afternoon. You think next week we're going to be in church together. Yeah, I mean, literally, none of us really know that. That's all in God's hands anyway. We just have to trust him. Are you fearful of the unknown? A doctor's appointment, a job loss, a future, fill in the blank, whatever it might be. But God, I just don't know. I know. I've got it all in control. I've already been there. What a precious God we serve. Trust and a lack of the wrong kind of fear are linked in God's word continuously. The bottom line is this: when I am fearful, I am not trusting. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2 is one of many places that link these. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. You could almost preach a whole message on that one verse. But three things God gives us. He says, number one, I'm your salvation. How precious is that? That alone is worth complete trust in Him. If we got nothing else, just our salvation, that's enough. I'm your salvation. But He says, number two, I'm your strength. I'm your ability to accomplish or to go through anything I've asked you to accomplish or to go through. I'm your strength. And we talked a little bit about that in the early morning service. And then He says, and your song. God wants us to sing in the midst of difficulty. I love the song that says, God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing around you, when the storm is ripping around you, when the human doctor says it's impossible, that's when God wants to hear you sing. That's when He wants you to cry out and lift up your voice and say, God, this is yours. Salvation, strength, song. We can run to Him. We don't have to fear all of these sources. They'll be there at times. Every one of us will probably deal with multitude of these all the time. But if we will turn and run to Him, what a precious thing it'll be. Father, thank You for Your word. There's a lot of sources of fear here. All of us have experienced at least some of them, probably most of us, most of them. And yet we can rest simply in You. We love You, and we're so grateful we have a God that we can run to. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I just ask you, have you allowed one of these sources of fear to dominate your heart? Has it grabbed a hold of you? Circumstances, unknown, children, a perceived lack of protection, perceived lack of provision, whatever it might be. Well, I'm not going to preach the whole message, but has God said, hey, that area right there, that's a source of fear, and you just need to let it go. You need to run to Me and trust Me in every single thing. You'd say, Pastor, the truth is, at least one of those, God said, that's an area that you struggle with. That's a source of fear for you, and I want you to give it to Me. Would you just slip up your hand? There's at least one of those areas. Good. All over the auditorium. Thank you so much. Anyone else? At least there's an area there, and I want to run to God with that source of fear. The truth is, folks, I struggle with that too. I just have to say, God, will You just take control of this? Let's pray together. Father, You saw the many, many hands today. Would You now work in hearts and lives? Would You allow people to run to You even in this moment of quietness? And we'll thank You for that. Dale's going to just begin to pray. Would you quietly stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken, would you come and just kneel here? Sit in one of the front pews or front chairs? Or maybe you would just stay seated there and say, God, this area I need to get victory over. I need to run to You instead of allowing this fear to dominate me. Would you deal with that quickly today? How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? I'm gonna let him play through one more time. You give up that fear, run to him. He loves it when you run to him.